I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave.
And we're here with Tim Chope of the Berlin Historical Airlift Foundation. How you doing there, Tim?
Well, just fine, Eddie and Dave. Doing fine, thank you.
We understand that you've added a new airplane to your inventory.
Oh, okay. You're talking about
a new old airplane.
A new old airplane.
Yes, sir. The replacement C-54. Yes, we did.
Right. But you've got another airplane on deck as well.
Yes, we certainly do. Now, the Boeing C-97, a lot of people don't understand the relationship between that and the Berlin Airlift, but the Air Force, in the waning months of the Berlin Airlift, actually brought in a C-97 to test it under actual airlift conditions for the purpose of replacing the Douglas C-54s. Had the airlift extended beyond 1949 into 1950, they were going to replace 330 C-54s with 100 Boeing C-97s. This was the plan.
So you're saying that the 97's got like three times the cargo capability of the C-54?
Well, at least twice. 20,000 pounds for the C-54, 40,000 pounds for the C-97. But it's faster, and the loading and unloading capabilities were so much improved that you could have gotten away with 100 airplanes.
It's a lot like a flying boxcar, right? Related to?
Not really. It's got the clamshell doors in the rear.
Right.
And it had a system where you could actually use a hoist to bring pallets and just drop them down, you know, to the floor, just lower them to the floor.
Okay.
So saving the manual labor many, many steps trying to do that by hand.
And what a lot of people don't understand is this is a double-deck airplane. You've got an upper level, you've got a lower level in it.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
First class and economy, huh?
Well, on the airliner version, of the rear was that spiral staircase that went down to the rear lounge. That's where that was on the Boeing 377 airliner.
How many of the airliner versions were built?
I believe they built 57. Yeah, 57, 59, somewhere in there.
So this actually was a high number produced aircraft, if you want to call it.
Out of the total built, 888 were built as air-to-air refuelers.
Wow.
Becoming the KC-97, but the first models, of course, were not designed that way. They were going to be cargo airplanes, and then that spun off to an airliner, and then, of course, later the refuelers came into being.
Okay, let's talk about your aircraft then. Was that always a cargo configuration, or did you have to convert it back?
Our airplane was built as a KC-97G tanker, and then it was converted back to cargo.
So it was flying privately when you acquired it, or before you acquired it?
Our airplane was actually confiscated for drug smuggling and was up in an auction when the previous owner, that's how he got it.
Wow.
That's an interesting career.
Probably got it cheap, too.
I don't know exactly. Yeah, I got it from a gentleman in Texas that got the airplane from the auction.
How long ago did you get the C-97?
We have been dedicated and struggling to get this airplane up and running since 1996. That's how long we've had this airplane.
That's a lot of work.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an incredible commitment.
Now, you eventually did get it airworthy, and she remains airworthy to this day, except for one small issue you had.
In 2019, right when we were getting on our feet to put the airplane out on regular events, we had this major catastrophic failure. And then, of course, followed by the COVID, followed by a tornado that destroyed the C-54, and then the lack of income because of no air shows and no airplane to go to them with. It's been a rough 18 months, let me tell you.
Well, now here's the problem. You've got a blown engine on the C-97. Where do you find engines for it?
Well, in February of 2020, we were ready to enter into a purchase agreement to acquire three airplanes for parts only, and tons of spares that would put us on a great future. And, of course, the COVID and everything just kind of sidetracked all that. And so now here we are. We're ready to enter into the agreement, but now the funding part is way down. We're still trying to be optimistic and excited about it because this is the airplane we have after entering into this agreement, would put us on the only survivable flyable C-97 left in the whole world, and had to look at this carefully and say, do we abandon the program or what are we going to do? But when you realize how much history is around the cargo version of this airplane, plus the tanker version, plus the airliner version, it's worth the time and effort and the money to try to save at least one of them.
Yeah, it's kind of an important airplane.
I was going to say, this is the last of her kind that's flyable. That's kind of important.
Yeah. Now, of course, you could, if you want to spend millions and millions of dollars, get another one up and running. In my world of a nonprofit, charitable 501c3 organization, we're on the right path for our capabilities.
Millions and millions would start you over, but you wouldn't need that much to restore the one you already have.
No.
Well, that's correct. We've had this airplane a long time and done a lot to it. You know, it's just taken so much time.
So the bottom line is that you've got three airplanes for parts. And where are they in the country? I bet you dollars that donuts they're not sitting in New Jersey.
No, no. In my life, that would not happen.
Yeah. They're probably in, like, Peru or something.
No, they're in Wyoming.
Oh.
Almost Peru.
Yeah.
They're in Wyoming. We're just entering into this agreement again, but it looks good. It looks like it's going to go through. Verbally, it's a deal. We have a deal going for us. Us being pilots, you know, there's that little risk side of us that I think every pilot has. It's just... It's our nature. You got to go for it because this is the only chance, my friend. This is it.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you don't nail this, your C-97's on the ground forever.
Well, and unless by some fluke you're able to rebuild what's on there, but that engine took quite a beating. We were 20 miles south of our destination. I had gotten out of the seat and stood behind the flight engineer, and I was watching the engines, and I said to him, boy, these engines are really running well.
Oh, that did it.
I'll never forget that. I said, they are really running well, just purring along. So when I got back in my seat, just a few minutes later, he said, Tim, we're losing oil pressure on number two. And no sooner had he said that, we started to hear some metal-to-metal disintegrating in the engine.
Well, when you think about how noisy an airplane is, that must have been a tremendous noise in order for you to hear it.
It was, and right as I confirmed I was on the number two feather button, getting ready to press it, there was a tremendous loud bang, and I knew something bad was happening, and I pressed the feather button, and thank goodness it feathered, and everything was okay, but that must have been when the nose case came apart or something like that.
When you hit feather, does it kill the mags?
No.
So you got to do that on your own.
Well, after it shuts down, you know.
Well, at that point, it was moot because if you got a big bang out of it, that's telling me something seized up.
No, you missed my point. If, let's say, the accessory case failed.
Oh,
he feathers
okay.
The prop, but the engine theoretically could still be running behind it.
Could still be running, yeah.
With no load.
Yeah, correct. With a 1,500-pound propeller turning, not too much is going to try to stop that engine other than feathering it.
The innards are just going to shred themselves. They're not designed for that kind of abuse.
Correct. And that's one system we were very careful of. Any of the emergency systems with the prop feather, there's a lot of operation of that prop between prop reverse and prop feather and the on speed and all that sort of thing.
It's a pretty complicated setup.
It is because it has its own propeller control unit. This is not controlled by engine oil. This has its own oil supply.
Well, you caught a break there.
Well, you also said something that it really intrigued me. That prop had a beta range?
No. Well, it did after it failed.
Yeah, okay. So you can't, you couldn't generate reverse thrust with it.
No.
Okay, I didn't think any piston engine.
Well, you could if you got into that circuit in flight and, you know, it got into reverse. Yeah, I mean, it can go into reverse in flight, but you sure don't want that to happen.
No, that would be bad. Note to self, do not reverse propellers in flight.
Bottom line here is, what do you need to get this airplane back in the air?
Well, we are in the $350,000 category to get this airplane back where it should be. And that's just something we don't have now.
Well, that's actually a lot less than I thought you were going to say.
It's still a lot of scratch, though.
Yeah, yes. It's a lot of money for us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My credit card's kind of high right now.
I felt very hard and had our educational mission with a C-54 for 27 years now. We had several events lined up for 2019, and 2020 was supposed to have been a banner year for us. Back to days when we would do 30 events a year with our C-54, And we were very happy. Even before the season started in 2020, I had 17 events lined up. That had never, ever happened in the past 27 years.
Wow.
To have that many events for the C-54 lined up. And we had 3 lined up for the C-97. I'll have that happen.
Then the Gremlin got into your number 2 engine, the end.
It was just heartbreaking, to say the least.
The thing is, the airplane itself came down undamaged. All you need is an engine. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It is correct. But the good news now is we are going to have a vast supply of parts, including engines. We're going to end up with 12 engines.
That should keep you busy.
Some need some attention, but 4 of them are serviceable, and we can use those like right now. 4 of them, and that's good. That's fantastic.
You're saying you've got this thing lined up. You just got to figure out how to finance it. And how can our listeners out there help you out with this?
Well, our website is spiritoffreedom.org. Yeah, www.spiritoffreedom.org. We have PayPal on there, and it says on the website how to send a check to the organization.
And any amount helps.
Any amount.
Would help. Anything would help.
Hopefully, Tim, we can get your airplane back in the air again, or at least we can help.
We have a special program we initiated called the Tiger Team Program, and it's a program where it's $100 a month or $1,200 a year to get on the Tiger Team Program. And that's a program where special people that really want to see this airplane get up and running. And so far, we've got 7 members to that program. They've been very loyal, the kind of people that really want to help and get this up and running.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Let's hope you get 100 more.
We sure could use the cash, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's, of course, special recognition, special pats, things like that for those folks.
What's the website again, Tim?
www.spiritoffreedom.org.
Okay, I want to thank you very much for joining us, Tim.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're hoping to see that airplane lift off again soon.
Yes, good luck to you.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen, so very, very much for your kindness and your help.
All right. Thank you very much.